You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Now, Greg Cody, I will pay for your oil. No problem. That will be no problem, sir.
I do enjoy a deep fried bird. I do find it delectable.
I do believe that that's a good idea.
This is The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Kick us off, Greg.
Okay, Thanksgiving's over. And now begins the most stressful time of the season for me. I'm not a guy who feels a lot of anxiety. But the first few days after Thanksgiving is when it really hits me. I feel like an anvil is on me. I feel like an avalanche of snow down a mountainside is coming right after me. And the reason is...
Christmas gifts.
Well, no. Not even the gifts. Not even the gifts. The decorations.
Oh.
Okay, yesterday's Michael's in my garage. He's up in the attic helping me get down dozens of tubs of indoor and outdoor decorations. Your mom takes care of the indoor. I take care of the outdoor. And now, like after we're done recording this podcast, I'm going to be out in my yard putting up lights. And to be quite frank, I know it's anti-holiday spirit, but I absolutely hate it. I hate.
Well, I prefer when you're quite Greg, not quite Frank.
Okay.
But so. Yeah, Dad, I mean, is this you wanting me to do a Dadder Day and help you put up decorations? Is that what you're asking right now?
Oh, I've given up on Dadder Day. I've given up on Dadder Day. I asked for a Dadder Day several weeks ago and neither of my sons bit on the idea.
Dad,
so,
I said publicly on a podcast, I'll do it. Like, let's do it. Tell me when.
The last time we talked about that, you talked about not doing it yourself, but hiring people.
That was a shtick for the show. Of course I'm willing to do it.
Was it really? Okay.
I mean, would two people that I paid to be there be more efficient and more productive than me? Yes.
Okay.
But if it's important to you that it's me, I'll do it.
Now, Christopher, you decorate the outside of your house. You don't find it like just something you absolutely dread doing?
No, me and Graceland went to the store this morning, actually, and picked out like another. She likes the air blow up thingies. Like we got a minion. Okay. with a little elf, like the I think, right. it's the antlers, like little Christmas antlers.
OK, the unglers. Yeah,
I have a relatively high house, so I only do the lights where I can kind of get to on a normal ladder. Like I'm not going up to my second floor route, like to do lights. That's too dangerous.
That's smart.
I've done the second level once, and we don't have a ladder for it. We had to borrow one, so we haven't done it since because I don't want to buy the ladder.
I did it the first year, too. Everyone does it the first year in their house, and then they're like, this is high.
That's pretty much how it went, yeah. I hate the pressure to do it. Like
From your wife? Like this is basically both of, like, Dad, you're complaining because Mom wants you to do it.
The pressure that my wife feels to put them up like right away. Like I'm typically a weekend after Thanksgiving, get all the lights up. I enjoy that tradition. When Thanksgiving's as early in the month as it was this year, though, it's like we can wait a couple days, especially when we've been out of town for an entire week. I just need to relax.
You guys can already see in my Zoom shot right here, I have like a Christmas tree decoration on our wall. Yeah. Our fake Christmas tree is already up. I'm recently converted over to fake tree. Been a real tree guy my entire life.
Oh yeah, you're going to the dark side.
Yeah,
yeah. That's not good. That's not the boy I raised.
It's delicious. It looks good. It smells good. And
it saves so much anxiety.
It saves the money. It saves the time. I'm driving around to three lots looking for the perfect tree that I'm going to overpay for. It's just absurd.
No, you got to buy a real tree.
But my sister-in-law was like, on Tuesday of this week, before Thanksgiving.
On Tuesday.
You got it. You got it. She was like, oh, see, so many of our neighbors have lights up. I feel really guilty for not having my lights up yet. I'm like, no, this is Thanksgiving. Yeah. Let Thanksgiving be Thanksgiving.
Please.
Worry about
you.
The lights after, but you should never feel guilty about it. Just get them up.
No, that's part of the stress to me is that you're keeping up with the neighbors. Like, 2/3 of my neighbors already have their lights up. It's ridiculous. Everybody's trying to putting stuff up too soon, too early. And now I'm sagging in defeat because I haven't even gone outside yet and put up a single bulb. And my neighbors are illuminated like the Macy's Day Parade or something. It's ridiculous around here. It's just debilitating. But I do love it when they're up.
I was about to say, I feel like this is like you're a guy who appreciates the holidays and likes this time of year.
Right.
I feel like this is faux outrage from you right now, and that you like when your neighborhood is filled with Christmas decorations.
Yes, I do. And I love it when my house is all done and I can go out there and admire it done for the first time. It's the doing that I absolutely hate.
I have noticed throughout the years, back in the day, you would go around the front of the house and the side of the house that you can drive. Like, it's like got a lot of exposure, one side of your house.
Right.
You're on a corner.
Yeah, the south side.
And I've noticed in recent years, the side of the house doesn't really get the lights anymore. It's just like the front view.
Yeah. See, again, that's adds to my stress because now I'm like, all right, now I got to do my south side, which I should. You're right. I'm actually glad you mentioned that because I need to do that. I need to be a whole house man.
Dad, I will help you do your lights.
What?
I will help you do your lights.
You actually said that aloud?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. I'll take you up on it.
I don't like the way you're painting this. Like I'm some like piece of shit son. Like I've offered, like no, I might do stuff for the podcast, but I offer to help.
Okay. You're a great son. Thank you. Know. Could be a little better in certain areas, such as Natalie, but you know, we're not perfect. I want to have a quick review of Thanksgiving before we get away from the holidays and move on.
I mean, come on, Dad. You made a turkey.
I made two turkeys. I made two deep fried turkeys for the first time.
How'd that go, by the way?
What?
How'd it go, the whole making a turkey, having to keep it warm, like until the other one's ready?
It was an ordeal, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little bit much. I did not have a single drop of hot oil spill on my bare foot. I want to get that off the way, out of the way for people who saw that video of mine and were...
Let's get it off the way.
...worried about me or angry at me or something. That all worked out fine. I thought the turkeys came out great, but I'm going to be very honest, my dressing sucked. It was just awful.
Oh, the stuffing?
The stuffing.
Yeah, really bad.
The classic one and the sausage one.
I didn't know if you made it or Aunt Bonnie made it, so I didn't want to be critical of it, but it was
bad.
It was like mushy.
It was just bad.
There was zero texture to it. You're a texture man.
Yeah.
You got to throw that thing in the broiler and let that thing get some sear on top of it.
Okay. I don't know about a broiler for stuffing, but...
just saying, like it needs a little crunch or something. It was very mushy.
Yeah. Yeah. And not flavorful.
You made two of them, too. He's like, here's the classic, here's sausage.
Right.
They just both looked the same, and it was just mush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't need to pile on. I mean, I admitted the dressing was bad.
I pulled a Stu Gatz, and I took your take, and I went flying by. I was like, it's the worst thing I've ever eaten.
Right. Yeti, how was your Thanksgiving? You were out of town, right?
Yeah, it was good. I'm curious to how many pounds. I haven't done my weigh-in yet, so I don't know how many pounds I've put on since we left. I weighed myself before, and last year I did this, too. I weighed right before we left for my sister-in-law's house, and when I got back, and I put on 4 pounds from between Wednesday night and Saturday night when we got home. This year, I'm very afraid because we were gone for an entire week this time and I was sick. So I was just I had 3 fried chicken meals Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I had secret meals every day.
So wait, do you let it fly with the candy too during the holiday week? Like that's...
Oh yeah. Yeah. Which there wasn't as much candy laying around, but yeah, I didn't hold back on anything. And I probably ate an entire pecan pie myself. Jane,
oh my God.
Jane tried out a new crust. Alex called me last night to ask about this. And so we were talking and he was very infatuated with the idea that Jane, she switched up the crust this year. Cause she hasn't had the best crust the last couple of years. So she went to a shortbread cookie.
Step up your crust game, Jane.
She did a shortbread cookie crust for her pecan pie. Oh my gosh. It was so good, but it was so heavy. But I ate probably at least one of those pies myself.
You sound like Duff.
Yeah.
Wasn't that what's the guy from Food Network? Duff Goldman.
Oh, Duff Goldman. I don't know. Either way.
Thank you for saying yep, even though you had no idea what I was talking about.
I didn't know who you meant. And I watched the Food Network.
He's the guy
that judges all the baking competitions.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it was awesome. But yeah, no, so we did a Cajun fried bird. But we also did a, my brother-in-law smoked his first bird.
Were you shoeless?
He was not willing to be shoeless. He was in Crocs.
Did you tell him that would help? I told him,
I was like, this is breaking tradition, but they, once again, do not care about me or Greg Cody, which makes me sad. But
then you just, when they reject your request and you say that kind of thing.
Zagaki. But yes, he smoked his first bird, and he did he used the method that is apparently known as spatchcocking.
Oh, I know that.
So me and my brother-in-law were spatchcocking this weekend.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
Yes, where you flay out the bird,
yeah,
remove the backbone or whatever, and that turned out really nice too. It was also Cajun, but yeah, the turkey was great. I barely ate any sides. I mostly ate turkey the whole time because it was good, and I love when turkey's done right. Yeah, it's really easy to get a bad bird. But when it's done right, I love it. Absolutely love it.
Dad, did you know Roy accepted your challenge for a turk off?
Okay, what are the details?
We got to just figure out the best way to do it. We don't really have an oven in our studio, so...
Well, the problem is, keep in mind, I'm deep frying, which you don't want to do indoors.
Is yours mobile?
It's mobile, but...
Like, we have an out, like, there is like a terrace.
There is?
Deep frying a turkey in a Miami alley.
No, we have the top, like by where the pool deck is. Like, it's actually like a really nice open area. Like, I'm sure we'd have to get approval on all this stuff.
Yes, you'd probably have to fill out an additional a certificate of insurance, probably.
But, like, we have, but we, like, we're cool with like the owners of the buildings. Like, so, like, yeah. I think they're willing to let us do stuff. But, and then they, like, I'm sure they have an oven somewhere that they could let Roy, so we could kind of do it like the way I envision it. It's like in show on a Tuesday. We have like a crew set up near you, a crew set up near Roy, and we're like throughout the show, like Roy's cooking his, you're cooking yours, and then we bring it to our studio for the taste test.
No, the one thing I would want, I'll buy my own turkey, but I would like Meadowlark to pay for the oil.
Okay.
I think because it involves 4
Dad,
gallons.
We'll get the oil. Don't worry.
I don't want you to pay for it. Okay. I want Skipper to pay for it.
Okay.
Okay. It involves up to 4 gallons. Oil is expensive.
Now, Greg Cody, I will pay for your oil. No problem. That will be no problem, sir.
I do enjoy a deep fried bird. I do find it delectable.
Fake limited John Skipper.
I do believe that's a good idea.
Okay. Yeah, I accept the turk off. I don't not only accept it, I invented it. I'm the challenger.
Right. No, I think the, for me, it makes sense. It feels like a holiday thing. So maybe like one of our last shows before the Christmas break would be a good time, I think.
Let's do it.
I'll get the wheels rolling.
Yeah.
I'll get the ball. Get the wheel. I'll get the ball rolling on.
Get everything rolling.
Yeah.
Or once again, Greg Cody can steal the show at a Levitard event. And for this December 11th or this Monday Night Football watch party, Greg and Roy do the turk off there.
That's an option as well. But that seems a little complicated.
I am not going to be there.
Yeah,
thank
Greg
you very
actually,
much.
Greg probably has to cover that game.
I have to cover that game. I am a working journalist.
I also saw, Dad, that you're working Christmas Eve this year.
Yeah, I hate that. Oh, you know, honestly, I'm going to say something that I shouldn't say aloud, but if it was anything but a huge game against the Dallas Cowboys, if it was like they were playing Carolina or somebody at home, I totally would ask, hey, I don't want to work Christmas Eve. Can I please not cover this game? But I can't do that to my boss when it's Dallas.
Did you work Christmas Eve last year or was it Christmas Day? It was Christmas Day because it was on Sunday last year.
It's been recent that I have worked the holiday, yeah, which I absolutely hate. That's the worst thing for me.
Last year you traded though, so you didn't have to go to Buffalo or New England.
I think that was a trade. You got a good memory.
I think I might be having to cook a meal at your Christmas Eve meal now because Christy's parents aren't doing Christmas Eve honestly this year. So it's a weird situation where we have nothing to do on Christmas Eve. And I was like, Mom, I'm coming over and I'll cook.
Okay, have you said that to her? Because she hasn't mentioned it to me.
No, I told it to Christy today, so I was just thinking, plotting it out.
Okay, Mom will hear it for the first time. She'll hear it on the podcast for the first time. By the way, welcome to the Greg Cody Show podcast, everybody. Hope your holidays are doing great.
I thought we were just catching up as friends about the holidays. This was
on
air.
We are. We just happen to be on a podcast. By the way, later in the episode, we have a brand new segment of Greg's Lobo's Hard Knocks, which is like nothing you've ever heard before. I'm very excited about that. And but before we get onto that. Christopher, this is aimed at you because you're a big baseball fan more than Yeti.
Wow, that's insulting to Yeti. I mean, he's a big Mariners, big Mariners fan over here.
Okay, well, you know what? Yeti's welcome to join in the fray here as well, because I just got my BBWAA 2024 Baseball Hall of Fame ballot in the mail.
You could have said that better.
BBWAA 2024 Baseball Hall of Fame ballot.
Did you just want to tell everyone that you're all like, you're just like, I just got my ballot in the mail?
No, I like that. When I die, I want that on my tombstone. BBWAA Hall of Fame voter. That's all I want. I don't even want my name on the tombstone.
Right,
just the fact that I'm a Hall of Fame voter.
That'll be like also owner of AAMFT.
That's right. And owner of Calmly, the racehorse. And author of the Pride of a Lion,
and
that's
host
all I want
of the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
He just wants his tombstone to be like a baseball card. He got his picture on the front, and on the back, it's got his stats.
That kind of thing at the bottom. In quotations.
That's correct.
And then etched in the corner. Oh yeah, also married to Arlene.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then like just like a thing of salt, like a statue of salt at the very top of the.
Wow, I like that.
And then just like. Just for some reason, the word me.
A salt like, shaker. Yes, I like that idea. Corner.
And maybe a Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody Christmas ornament.
Oh, yes.
Which you can now buy at shop.thegregcodyshow.com. We
Who
have.
Would want that on their tree.
We have
oh, millions.
So Multitudes. Far, we've got the floating head. We've got Greg's Lobos, PFPI Fantasy.
Nice.
And you can also get, for the first time in history, an ornament that says, nice hat.
Okay. Now that I'm with the face
nice
one, put the face one up again. That is just something. Here, you want a picture of something no one would want on their tree?
I wouldn't want that on my tree.
There you go. Dad, you're my dad, and I would not want that on my tree.
Yeah, it's not going on my tree. I need to stay married.
Yeah.
But
I would put that on my tree, but it would be on the rear corner where no one but the cat could see it.
If you take a picture of that ornament on your tree, Greg Cody will drive to your house.
It's possible, whether you like it or not.
Look, the backing is a nice white, and so it can be signed really easy. And so maybe he'll drive to your house and sign his face for
no,
you.
No, he will. Right. My dad will drive to anyone's house and sign it, whoever buys it.
Right. But all week this week, Cyber Week deals the entire week from Monday through Sunday, 15% off plus free shipping. I think that we had 30% off on Black Friday. That's a really good deal. But my favorite deal is when we do 15% off plus free shipping.
Yeah.
15% off free shipping. That's a win for everybody. So go shop.thegregcodyshow.com. All the merchandise, including the ornaments, 15% off free shipping.
On the other side of the tombstone, there's like just a, you know, a statue of your foot with the nail, like looking like with that gross toenail. Yeti. A little behind the scenes, you know how we posted a picture on Thanksgiving of my dad shoeless?
Yeah.
Because remember that we did two birds. So I actually, because I was at my in-law's house, I was actually not there for the dropping of the first bird. So the video you guys saw was actually the second bird going in. And for the first bird, my dad had a totally different outfit on and shoes. But he was just like, the internet needs me shoeless for this. So then he went and for some reason put a different outfit on, took his shoes off. And was like, all right, now I'm ready for the video.
Correct.
So it's like, my dad, there was a lot of effort that went into. I saw actually, Dad, didn't that pizza place like tweet at us?
Yeah, they did. Malnati's,
yeah.
Yeah, Lou Malnati's. That shirt got a lot of comments, and it typically does. And the restaurant did tweet at you.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I love Malnati's.
You see, are you really glad about that? You that was the most insincere. Yeah, I'm glad.
Well, here's the thing. Tweeting that they like it is nice. You know, throw me a t-shirt in the mail and that's nicer. You know what I mean? Like,
how about the next time you're there, a free meal?
There you go. Maybe we can work that out. If Lou's listening, that kind of thing.
How mad is he that we've completely distracted him from Hall of Fame talk?
Yes. Good.
Oh, no. Thank you. Thank you for the reminder.
No.
Okay. All right. There's 26 names on the ballot. 12 of them are first timers. When I look at the first time nominees, only one name pops out at me as a near certainty, as like a guy I'm very likely going to vote for as a first ballot guy, and that's Adrian Beltre.
Ugh,
no,
Beltre.
First ballot though, like that's a bad list if he's the best one by far.
Well,
I want you to,
Dad,
real fast, like we'll react to it after. I want you to rattle off all of those new names.
Okay, all right, and You guys stop me if it's a definite Hall of Famer.
Or let's just both think in our head who they are and let you get through the whole list.
Okay, it's a dozen names and it's alphabetical. Jose Bautista, Adrian Beltre, Bartolo Colon, Adrian Gonzalez, Matt Holliday, Victor Martinez, Joe Mauer, Brandon Phillips, Jose Reyes, James Shields, Chase Utley, and David Wright.
To me, Joe Mauer, and there was a name. Who was like the third name you said? Third or fourth name?
Bartolo Colon.
No, keep going.
Matt Holliday.
No.
Adrian Gonzalez, Victor Martinez.
Adrian Gonzalez. I feel like Adrian Gonzalez, I have to look at his numbers. In terms of the quality hitter he was, he kind of felt like he had a Hall of Fame stretch, but I'd have to look at his total numbers.
Yeah,
Joe Mauer was one of the best catchers of that era.
Yeah, and it's easier for catchers to get in, I think.
That feels, I don't know about first ballot, but it doesn't feel, a lot of those are just obviously not Hall of Famers.
Right.
Right. I don't know enough about the numbers to say that Utley would probably be the one that I would have guessed. If you just told me, guess which one off your list.
I would have thought you would, if you would have just said all those names to me and said, which one of these is like, is probably, I would have said Joe Mauer.
Okay. My favorite on the list is Beltre.
But Beltre does, he was around a long time. So he probably compiled more stats than all like Adrian, like he probably has more home runs, even though I think of Adrian Gonzalez at his peak as a better hitter than Adrian Beltre.
Okay. I think if you look at Beltre's career stats, you'll see why I think he's the most likely to
get on. Does he have 400 home runs?
I think he was like 378 or something, pretty close to it.
I love that you chose him. I mean, he was a big part of me becoming a Mariners fan, but I don't know that I would have guessed that would have been your first choice.
I only had five guys on my ballot last year, and none of them made it. I voted for Todd Helton, Billy Wagner, Alex Rodriguez, and Manny Ramirez, the steroid guys, quote unquote. So it's going to be interesting to see if Alex Rodriguez gets on, because he was way short last year. So
yeah, it's anyway. Alex Rodriguez. That would be.
I was about to say A-Rod, and I got caught in the middle of nickname versus not. While we're on sports, what did you think of the Black Friday wins for the Dolphins and the Hurricanes? They both won easily. Like, they beat bad teams, but they both won easily. What did you think of those games, Christopher?
I did not watch a second of the UM game because I was cleaning out my closet. Oh, man, nothing like a good, like, I know it's called spring cleaning usually, but I did a winter cleaning.
Right.
I must have gotten rid of, like, 40% of my clothes.
You needed to.
Yeah. I hadn't done it in a while. And what was that? Is that a joke in my style? But, yeah, it's just, that's what I was doing. So I didn't see any of that. The Dolphins game, you know, handling their business. That's it. I mean,
as they usually do.
The mystery of Tim Boyle was solved pretty quickly.
yeah, pretty awful.
But nice to see the Dolphins move because that, if we're just looking at units, the Jets defense is a good unit. And the Dolphins didn't, it wasn't like the Dolphins struggled. Like they had a good amount of yards and, you know, it was good to see them be able to, you know, Jalen Phillips' injury, the turf that was brutal to watch. And
that's terrible.
I hear a lot of noise on the internet about a turf like claims another victim. Like, are the numbers that telling that like turfs do this? Like, why are we on turfs? If, you know, I don't know the numbers behind it. So I don't want to do the whole thing where I'm outraged when I don't really know what I'm talking about. But, you know, the internet seems to think that these turfs are injuring a lot of guys.
I can't quantify it. I don't have the numbers, but when the players, like when several players say that that's a notorious turf, that it sucks, that it's dangerous, the NFL needs to listen and check into why everybody is saying that and take action, because that turf may very well have cost Jalen Phillips the rest of this season. And some, not all players come back from an Achilles injury. So,
and I think the question is, if we're really just big picturing this, Jalen Phillips is which, like, he's what, the third most important Dolphins defender, fourth, like he's in the handful of like, they had four or five studs and he's one of them. So
yeah, he's like, one of their top five.
I think it is one of their deeper positions with Van Ginkle and Ogba being able to kind of step into that role. But, you know, hopefully this doesn't prove to be a big loss for the Dolphins, because the Dolphins, the aspirations for the Dolphins are as high as they go. Like, you have to, at this point, hope to be in the AFC championship game. Like the Dolphins have set the standard for this season, where I think if you reach the AFC championship game and you lose to a Bills team or you lose to a Chiefs team, that's not a disappointing season. That's a clear step in the right direction. I think anything short of that at this point, a bye in the first round, or they play the first round, win it, and get to the second round, they lose that second round, like, that's a disappointing season at this point.
I agree.
So you just got to hope that the Jalen Phillips injury isn't a big enough loss where it takes them out of that.
Right. No, they still have a lot on defense. Bradley Chubb is having an excellent season, much better than last year. I think you mentioned Emmanuel Ogba, who I don't believe plays for the team anymore.
What are you talking? Who's number 91?
I haven't memorized the numerical roster. I don't know, Dad, who 91 is, but.
Dad, I think you just showed your ass.
Well, it could be.
It is Emmanuel Ogba.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, to your point, he's been put with Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips. He's like a backup now on the team.
Right. Okay. My bad.
Simply on the team still.
Okay.
Yes.
For some reason, I thought he left in free agency. That's totally on me.
That is on you.
Okay.
And we're definitely leaving it in the podcast. In fact, I think you need to take a 2-minute break, and we're going to go to commercial.
Okay. Greg's
going to go in the penalty box for a couple minutes. Okay. We're going to take a quick break and hear about Sheets and Giggles.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And now a poem about Sheets and Giggles by Yeti Blanc. Ah, Sheets and Giggles, perfect for sleeping or romantic tickles. Their sheets are renowned as a wonderful gift. Great sleep and good cheer. Oh, the spirits you'll lift. Cash in right now with their Cyber Week sale. With savings like these, there's no way to fail. Get a new mattress for $500 off. A deal that Greg Cote could not even scoff. They've dashed prices on sheets up to 60%. Such quality, such savings. Now that's money well spent. Sheetsgiggles.com/Greg. Code thanks. Save 10% more. Take that to the bank. Act now. Don't wait to spread sleep and cheer. These deals won't come back until this time next year. Sheetsgiggles.com/Greg. Order with speed. Use promo code thanks for the sleep that you need. The end. Support the Greg Cote Show by supporting our friends at Sheets and Giggles. And now, back to your regularly scheduled programming.
I know I said it last week, but if you want to support us and support Yeti doing these creative poems, sheetsgiggles.com/Greg, promo code...
Thanks.
Thanks.
Promo code thanks. Once again.
And we're thankful for you guys. Sheets and Giggles is thankful for you. So I just want to hammer it home. Please support us. Support Sheets and Giggles. It's a great gift this time of year. Sheetsgiggles.com/Greg. Promo code thanks.
Thanks, Chris.
Take it away, Greg.
Oh, okay.
staring at me.
I didn't know where we were going or what we were doing.
We're doing a podcast,
which is usually the case.
We just finished the halfway point, and now this is where you talk more.
Okay, we talked about the Dolphins and the Canes. What do you guys think of villainous Michigan? Not only beating Ohio State, but now they play Iowa in the conference championship, which they're going to win by 4 touchdowns. Iowa doesn't have an offense, and so Michigan, under that cheating cloud, is going to be in the college football playoff. Am I the only one who cares about that? Like, nobody else seems to think that Michigan...
But that this is what bothers me about this. I want you right now, you just told me you're mad. What did Michigan do?
Michigan is alleged to have had someone on their staff hire people to go to opposing stadiums and steal the other team's signals. And one of them even dressed as an assistant coach for an opposing team and was on the sideline of that team. Now, the question is, did Jim Harbaugh know about it? The Big Ten obviously thought he had some responsibility because they suspended him for the last three games of the regular season. The NCAA is currently investigating that. And the reporting is that if Michigan, whether or not Jim Harbaugh knew about it, the NCAA phrase is institutional control. And if they find that Michigan had no institutional control by not knowing about this renegade guy who was cheating by stealing opponent signals against the rules, then they could have serious sanctions against them next season. So what I know is they could potentially be in trouble.
Yeah, but it's like everyone is trying, like you're allowed to try to steal people's signs. Yes, you can't have somebody on the sideline, but it's like, it's a gray area. I just, it's kind of just like, hey, stop that kind of thing. As opposed to like he should lose his job. The kids shouldn't get to play. Like, I'm not with that.
Okay. First of all, I don't know that he should lose his job, but I don't think they should be in the college football playoff. I think it taints the college football playoff. And I'm not the only one to say that. Stephen A. Smith has said that. Others have written it. I think I was on the early side of writing that, but others think that as well. And, you know, in this case, the rule, if you're trying to steal the other team's signs in game, during a game, that is legal. But if you're doing it not in a game situation, if you're sending people to other games to steal on your behalf, if you have someone, in another team's coaching uniform on the sideline, that's not within the rules.
I mean, I can send a scout to watch you play the week before and be looking at your sidelines. Okay, they put that sign up. They're running this defense now. Like, yes, you can do that.
Okay, your rationale is everybody does it.
Yeah, it's like in baseball. Like, yeah, okay. Like I don't want you using a like I don't want people in spots they shouldn't be. But like people in the dugout, yeah. If a catcher's showing his signs, then yes. Okay.
Like, yeah, I find zero problem with picking up on the if people are tipping what they're doing, and we're able to figure that out. Be better at hiding it. That's your fault, you know. And if we were good enough and had the to pick up on that with our observations. I'm not a big fan of the idea of recording, but at the same time, you can devise a lot from game tape, I would think. Now, I'm coming from a place of ignorance on this. I am. I don't know the inner workings of how game tape works and when you're reviewing it, but I don't see a ton of difference in if you're able to spot something on game tape when you're watching the other team's film or going back and watching their games. You can see their tendencies and stuff. There's probably not a ton of difference. It does feel more blatant if you are sneaking around and you are directly trying to film what they're doing and syncing that up with how they react, but it's not too far separate.
And I don't think we're saying that Michigan hasn't done anything wrong here, but I think that you're wanting to be on the far extreme of like out of the playoffs. And it's just like, it can be, there's gray area here where it can also be Jim Harbaugh suspended for X amount of games and a couple people fired who were ringleading it. And
You do have to, try to have, if it's considered legitimately cheating, then yeah, there needs to be something to try to thwart it. The thing is it going to, it's never going to come out evenly to, for the teams that do it either.
The Big Ten, their own conference, thought there was something there enough to suspend the coach, and the NCAA is investigating and supposedly has a lot of info. So
you want to make sure the kids are hurt by this. Like, we got the coach.
Now it can hurt the coach's future recruiting efforts too, though, if his kids end up getting not being able to play.
Right, loss of scholarship, maybe, if you take away a few scholarships. Like, I'm okay with that. It's just the whole, like, it just seems like it's like you're calling for kicking him out of the playoff. I mean, geez, that seems extreme.
Does it? Okay. You're allowed to think it seems extreme. Stephen A. Smith and I disagree.
Them being in the playoff will probably make it harder for Florida State to get accepted, considering the injury to their quarterback, and they didn't blow out Florida. So personally, I would rather see Florida State there, but Michigan's clearly the better team.
I love how you're holding up Stephen A. Smith. Like, he's literally always on the extremes doing the thing that's going to get the most clicks. Like, yeah, like,
right.
Anyone else agree with you besides Stephen A. Smith?
No, I haven't kept track, but I mentioned him only to illustrate that prominent national media members are in line with me. I'm not alone on this whole idea.
Members or member?
Members. It's a big club, kid. It's a big club. I think Ohio State should remain in the top four, even though they lost.
Who did they beat this season?
Ohio State is the third best team in the country right now, clearly. If Ohio State played Washington, if Ohio State played FSU, Ohio State would win that game. They would be favored to win that game.
What are you talking about? Washington has had such a tougher schedule than Ohio State. Who the hell is Ohio? I'm looking at their schedule right now. They barely beat Notre Dame. That's a good win.
Right.
And they beat Penn State, who's a fraud. That's it.
Penn State's a good team.
Penn State's a good team. They're not
two loss team.
Dad, I'm gonna pull up Washington's football schedule.
Go ahead. I think Ohio State is the third best team in the country.
That is
even though they just lost.
That is crazy.
Okay. They would beat Alabama. They would beat Texas.
Washington has beaten Oregon, USC, Utah, Oregon State. Those are all the ranked opponents. And Arizona. I know you're saying you don't follow college football. Oregon State is ranked 11th in the country right now.
Yeah, I know that.
I can already see you mocking Oregon State. I'm just saying. And they beat Arizona, who I know had a really good win yesterday. Arizona's 9-3, 15 in the country. They beat Arizona in the country.
I think Greg just gave us a good bowl game with Alabama versus Ohio State. Let's see those two play each other.
That'd be a very good game.
That would be Alabama favored by like 6.5 points.
I doubt it.
You saying Washington has been less impressive this year than Ohio State is wild. Like that, I'm telling you, nobody, you want to talk about like national pundits agreeing with you? Nobody is saying that. It was like consensus. Michigan too. Michigan's in the same boat. Neither of them have had hard schedules at all. That's why yesterday's Saturday's game was so cool, because that was literally a playoff game. Because
Answer me this, Christopher. If what you say is true, then why before Saturday's games was with the same record, Ohio State was ranked second and Washington was ranked fourth? Why is that?
Because Ohio State was preseason number like three, and Washington, because they're not a perennial powerhouse, was probably like, check the rankings. I don't know what Washington, like, it's just the math.
Okay. So like me, the poll voters evidently think Ohio State is better.
No, I mean, Ohio State beat Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame ended up being like, I got to check. I don't think Notre Dame ended up being that good, but I'm just saying the Pac-12 this year was better than the Big Ten.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. You'd get some argument there.
No, I wouldn't.
The disappearing Pac-12, the crumbling Pac-12, RIP.
You know, that's wild. It's odd that it was so good the year that it's being dismantled, but.
You know what's funny? On ostensibly what is a sports podcast that hardly ever talks about sports, we have talked more about sports in this podcast than we have in a lot of others. So let's move on.
How about some three facts, Jack?
I could do that.
There are three things that interest him, so sit right back for three facts, Jack.
Number three. Long before he became an actor and gained fame in Game of Thrones, Peter Dinklage fronted a 1990s punk band called Wizzy. Number two.
Wait, he was the front man?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Wizzy. Wizzy.
I like it.
You'll see a photo of him punk banding, leaning into a microphone with a punk-like scowl on his face. I ain't making this up, people.
He has a good scowl for it, too. That would work.
These three facts are true facts, Jack.
Oh, yeah, I see it.
You see it?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Number two. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, the literal center of the United States, the 48 states, excluding Alaska and Hawaii, is an otherwise nondescript field north of Lebanon, Kansas. The place once attracted enough tourists to have a motel, but it has since closed. Number one, to most of us, the day after Thanksgiving is known as Black Friday. To plumbers, the day is nicknamed Brown Friday.
Oh, no.
That's because the day after Bird Day is twice as busy as any other day of the year for plumbers. The main problem is clogged kitchen sinks and garbage disposals. The main cause is grease and potato peels.
Oh, wow. I thought we were going somewhere else with that.
I know. With brown,
Uncle Dick got a little too sauced.
I was actually going to say, I was about to criticize people. It's like, learn how to poop. Like, God, like, you don't have to go, like, or eat. Just don't eat so crazy. Like, I don't find myself, like, pooping any differently. Like, maybe,
right,
you know, maybe some people eat cleaner than me normally, and that's why when they eat on Thanksgiving, that's when maybe my stomach's, like, used to this kind of life. So it turns out it's not because of pooping. It's because
right.
of...
Even though they call it brown...
The potato peels will get you on the garbage disposal. We've suffered that a couple times.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, we have too.
My mother-in-law, right on Thanksgiving Eve several years ago, threw an entire whole potato, unbaked, so it's, you know, not soft at all, just entire whole potato down. She said, is your garbage disposal good? And we're like, yeah. And she just, okay, boom, gone, clogged, instantly yeah. stopped. And it almost so ruined
dumb.
Thanksgiving.
What a dumb thing to do.
Well, we really remind is. Her every year.
Plus, what a waste of a potato.
You ever put like a little lemon wedge in at the end to clean it out?
Love putting my old lemon peels in there and stuff.
A little citrus, yeah. Citrus at the
love
end.
Love it.
Nice. Little tip out there for you. If you put something gross in there, follow it with a little citrus. Nice.
I like that. Yeah. I put lemon juice down there sometimes, not the rind, because the garbage disposal will not dispose of a rind.
Oh, mine
right?
does.
Okay. Yeah, it will.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it helps clean it.
Yeah. Okay. Let me ask you this. Am I the only one of the three of us who hates, and I've written about this, who hates, not just dislikes, but hates the NBA's in-season tournament?
What is wrong with it?
Yes and no.
I was watching a Heat game on Friday, and I was like into it way more than I would normally be into a regular season game. Like, okay. What? Like, I don't believe there's no reason for you to not like it. It's just added games of meaning. It's like, okay. Hey, these playoff games are fun to watch. Let's make more games with slightly bigger stakes. Like, go ahead, try to give me a reason why it's bad.
Okay, first of all, what is the meaning? It's a made-up tournament. What are they?
It's a made-up league. It's a made-up game. So I don't like that argument.
If you win the in-season tournament, are you going to hang a banner from the rafters that says 2023 yeah.
yes.
in-season tournament
yes,
champion?
Dad, but now you realize it's giving a chance, like maybe the Charlotte Hornets are going to win it. And this team that has had, this isn't for the Miami Heat. This isn't for the Warriors. This is for, I mean, yes, these teams can win it, but this is for the Bulls. This right. is for the Wizards. This is to give this team just something that means something.
Okay, the games count in the regular season standings.
Right.
So it's not a separate tournament. It's a tournament that's half regular season and half tournament.
Because right. like, people like
it's
you...
It's complicated.
Because you, people like you would be so irate if we made them play more games. So it's like, we'll kill two birds with one stone. They're going to play all these games that everyone says are meaningless. So we're going to throw a little extra meaning into them. And it's not that complicated. Like, God, yeah. yes, for someone like you that it's just like, I don't like change. Like, if you just read one article that explains how it works... It couldn't be less complicated. It's a World Cup type thing.
Right.
There are groups. You do a round robin. The best two records move on. You right. seem to fit. You figure. Is the World Cup confusing to you, Dad?
No.
Okay. Well, then now you're just being difficult because it's the exact same format.
I don't like the fact that it's going on intermingled with everything. But this probably
why?
This
what
is
do
me
you care?
Showing, I would prefer to see it over like a 2 week period, like just kind of concentrated and more towards the middle. The
but
middle
then
the of the season's
season. Longer, and now and but then people always complain about how meaningless NBA games are in the regular season.
Oh no, I think right. you should do it like in a bubble, kind of with a bubble type feel, where you're doing all the games, you're playing the same games that you would have played, but you're just doing it in a okay this 2 week period or however long. All the games here are tournament games, and go into that. But there's a reason I'm not paid to plan God, these things.
This was
that would be simpler.
I just feel like something like the Maui Invitational is what I'm thinking. Like I love kind of the format of the Maui Invitational or one of these early season college tournaments. Like something like that would mean more to.
I feel would
mean more to.
I feel like I'm gonna just do something right now that's gonna piss my dad off because he gets real mad at me. But like this is such a mail-in bleep. You're just faking this entire episode. You even admitted it with like all the sports topics you're bringing up. You don't give a shit about this in-game season tournament.
Yes,
I
do.
You don't give a shit about the last thing we talked about. I already forgot it.
Okay, first of all,
like you're looking for topics and you're just like, I don't like this turn. You don't give a shit about these turns.
Okay,
I'd rather us do an episode where you're like talking about something at a restaurant that you actually believe. You're just like, let me hit these topics. Let me say I don't like it. It's just I don't believe any of this.
Okay, well, first of all, you're dead wrong. You don't know what I believe, and I don't appreciate you coming off like painting me as some sort
you.
Of.
I told you I was going to piss him
I
off.
Don't like you painting me as some sort of a fraud by saying things I don't believe in.
I don't.
Listen to me. Let me have a word in here.
Now we're talking.
A month ago, before the in-season tournament even started, I wrote a column eviscerating this tournament. I wrote an entire column saying why I thought it was wrong.
Starting with
the fact that it's a terrible name. It's an awful name. In-season tournament. Talk about a generic name. So don't tell me now.
No, I believe you were faking it then,
just
too.
Quit interrupting me.
I believe you were faking it then, too.
No, I was not.
Like,
I don't fake things that I write. And I don't appreciate you saying that I do. You're free to disagree and tell me why I'm wrong. But don't tell me that I'm faking it or contriving a topic for whatever reason. It's absolutely not true. And it impinges on my integrity. And I don't appreciate it.
I'm here. I'm just hiding.
I knew I was going to get him with it. But
I mean, because you're telling people that I'm making shit up just to have something to say, and it's not true.
Okay. I just think it's that I just don't understand how you could be so like all the NBA did was give you something more with like a cool little wrinkle. It doesn't change anything. For all you people that hate it, you don't have to pay attention to it. It's just the regular season.
Right.
I get it. It's a new thing. But to be like, I don't like it. It's just like, okay, I don't understand what it's doing to anger you. It's more incentives for the teams that don't win the championship ever. It's like the Orlando Magic now have something to play for. And it's like I just don't understand the outrage of it. Maybe you strongly feel that way. I apologize.
And nothing quite like an apology to help us take a break from this heated conversation and jump into the latest episode of Hard Knocks Greg's Lobos. Greg, the producer, sent me a note, said you tried to get a little funny on this episode. So let's roll that tape and see how it went.
Okay.
Imitation. The sincerest form of flattery. Greg's Lobos find themselves thrilled that the NFL has now copied the in-season Hard Knocks idea that the Lobos invented. Unfortunately, the Lobos have thus far failed to invent a winning season as we listen in on the latest team meeting.
My Lobos, we now stand fifth of 10 teams in the PFPI Fantasy League with a 5-6 record. We're still in the thick of the playoff chase, but after two losses in a row, I see some long faces. I see the shuffling gait of despondence. So I'm going to skip the usual team meeting today because I've decided that more than X's and O's, my Lobos need laughter. We're too tight. Got to get light. So I want to do a little stand-up routine here. That's right. Dad Jokes Football Edition.
Got it.
Lobos, what's the difference between a Jets fan and a baby? The baby will stop whining and crying after a while. How many Jets fans does it take to change a light bulb? None, because they're so used to living in the Lobos' shadow. No heckling, please.
Who died and made this guy Brad Williams?
How do football players stay cool during the game? They stand near the fans.
Woof.
Why did the football sigh?
I don't know, chicken thigh.
It was deflated, but enough about Belichick. But seriously, what did the football say to the punter? Man, I get a kick out of you.
Later that evening, a surprisingly optimistic Greg Cody meets with his coaches.
I'm not going to lie, coach, that didn't go well.
Really? I thought the Bows loved it. They were ready to run through a brick wall leaving that meeting room.
Yeah, they ran through a wall to get the hell out of there.
All right, well, hopefully Hard Knocks caught us inspiring the Lobos to end this two-game losing streak. I want to thank you all for joining on this podcast. I want to apologize that Christopher and I screamed at each other. It was very untoward, And we both apologize. At least I do. I don't know if Christopher does. He's too mad at me to still have stuck around for the end of this podcast. So we love you all, podcast family, and we'll see you next week. That kind of thing. Talking about that kind of thing.
Shop.thegregcodyshow.com. Get your ornaments, get your shirts, get your hats, everything. 15% off and free shipping now through Sunday.
Cool.